This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Because it's like, if your life totally revolves around your kids, which it's probably going to either way, and you like totally forget about yourself. I mean, we've seen it before with moms that like their kids move out of the house and now they're like, wait. Who am I?
Yeah.
What do I like to do for fun?
Yes.
I've, like, completely neglected myself all of these years. And also, I just watched Love and Basketball yesterday with my best friend.
Oh, Monica's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, she could have been a caterer. She could have, like, done these things that she wanted to do. But she, like, put it all on the back
aside.
Burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the sake of family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a balance there. You can bring them like down like this, up like
okay.
this. Like you can just kind of like, you know, get it however you need to feel good with your comfort level.
La la la
la la la la la la la la. This is direct.
La 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 la
la.
La 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 la.
He taught me how to fight and pray.
Oh, happy day.
When he won, when Jesus walked, he wiped my sins away. Oh my God, it started off so bad, and then it got good, and then it got
a little rocky, but you saved it. And
screaming. Okay, that was so good.
We're actually professional singers as well.
Listen, I really wish I was born with a gift of singing. It would make me so happy. I would never shut up. Like,
yeah, me too.
Man. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Unlearning Motherhood. I'm here with Sierra.
Woo.
Cues applause. Cues the woo. Like all of that. Yeah. Yes. Cues all of that. Sierra is so cool. I say that about all my friends, but it's true. I only have cool friends. Period.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's so funny how we met, actually. So I'll let Sierra tell you guys a little bit about herself, give a little intro, and then we'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we actually met, it's funny, we were at the Pearl Farmers Market.
Yeah.
And our kids were with us, you know. I saw her, but I was like, oh my gosh.
And I saw
her. She's so beautiful.
And
oh my
I thought
goodness.
The same.
And she was like, hey, you want to like come over and the kids can play or whatever? I was like, yeah. Oh my God, she noticed me. And
Duh. What do you mean? Of course I noticed you.
Thank you.
So from my perspective, other POV, we're at the Pearl, it's hot as balls outside.
It was hot.
Hot, and it's so hard to get a table with, like, a shade, with, like, that umbrella an umbrella thing? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I got one. Mm-hmm. Miraculously. Period. Yeah, and it's rare, and I usually don't talk to people on about. People might think that I'm like an extrovert, but I'm really not. I'm really not very extroverted. I can be if I need to, yeah. But if I'm just like out and about, like just private time, like I'm not working, I usually will not talk to people. But I saw this beautiful goddess of a woman.
That's you, girl.
That was you, just a few yards away. She had her kids, and I was like, I'm gonna see if she wants to come sit with us. And I did, and she was like, yeah. And then we talked, and then somehow we realized that we follow each other on Instagram, but we don't know how we...
We have no started. Idea how we met at first. That's...
We still don't know.
It's divine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It so is. I mean, we would have found each other anyways, because mm-hmm. hence meant the pearl. To be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mother of two, mm-hmm. and then just tell us, like, who you are, what you're about.
Okay.
Who are you outside of being a mother? Because I feel like you're so good at that.
Aw, thank
you're
you.
You're so good at that.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Okay, well, my name is Sierra. Why is the first thing I want to say, I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old?
Because that's usually how we, like, identify ourselves once yes. we become a parent, mm-hmm. yeah.
They, you know, consume most of my life, yeah. outside of that, I enjoy music, like, I'm a wannabe singer, so I've been, like, dabbling into singing and songwriting a little bit more. Thank you.
You are
Thank
a singer. Did y'all not just hear the song? No, I'm kidding.
Don't listen to that one, y'all.
No, but she's so talented. One. She's so talented.
Thank you. I love running. That's, like, my thing right now. Yeah. I'm training for a marathon. I'm, like, pretty close to nailing down which marathon I want to do.
Oh, there's options.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's yes. options, hunty. Yes. yes. Might be the marathon in Marathon, Texas.
Oh, there's a place called Marathon,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, it's like near Big Bend. Yeah,
but oh, it's in Big Ben.
Yeah. Duh, it's in October, so it'll be like a little bit cooler, but
love that for you. I will not be going.
Like that is your story, Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But... I might go to like have a sign Yay. To like cheer you on, but I'm gonna have like the whole setup, like a mister over here, a mister over there, the hat with the fans, like everything.
Not the hat with the fans, yes. the whole
yes.
nine.
Yes.
The whole nine. I love that, but that's what I'm doing right now. I love health and fitness and nutrition, all that kind of stuff. That's like what I do for my job too. I'm a health coach. Woohoo! And other than that, I'm just, you know, a being walking planet Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so today's topic is actually...
Let's see, what do we have here?
Because I feel like I also kind of deal yeah. with this too, like our mm-hmm. complex relationship with motherhood, because yes. it is a very complex, mm-hmm. you know, kind of situation, and how, you know, to find your autonomy with mm-hmm. being a mother, which I feel like is so hard in the beginning, because so much of you is, like, devoted to, like, your children. You're yeah. always devoted to your children, but something that I just really admire about you is that, like, you're so unapologetic about just, like, spending... You're like just having your alone time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like you're still with your kiddos. You're still spending so much time with them. You love them. They love you. But it's like you're also just very like, I got to do this for me.
I literally have to.
Yeah.
Like the way my mental health is set up, I deal with depression and some other things as well going on. But I have to. Like anytime there's been like a few very... Not that often, but every now and then I'll get challenged by someone, like, very close to me, like, mm-hmm. oh, why are you, like, spending, you? Oh, you spend a lot of time, you know, by yourself,
yeah.
like, I have to, yeah. I'm, like, totally unapologetic about that, and yeah. it's, like, radical self-care, because yes. if I don't, it's, like, that's something that makes me excited to, like, be on Earth. This mm-hmm. is gonna get a little dark, guys.
No,
but, it's, like, I have to.
Yeah.
Or else, like... It might not. I need to be here. I need to be here for my kids.
Yes.
So having that time to myself, which is really, like, when you add it up, it's really not that much time.
It's really not. Yeah.
But having to have that time to myself is, like, important because I've been in places, like, so dark and so low before. And sometimes it'll try to creep back up on mm-hmm. me. And when I start feeling that, I'm like, no, I made a vow to myself that I'm not going to.
Go there.
I'm not gonna go there yeah. anymore, especially not for like no reason.
Yeah. Like, for yeah. mom guilt.
Yeah, for a mom guilt. I'm not doing that. No, it's not worth it. So, yeah, I literally feel like I have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I remember, like, first of all, I think that's so commendable. I think it's, like, extremely taboo, of course, mm-hmm. for, you know, to see a mom who puts herself, you know, would you mm-hmm. say you put yourself first?
Almost. Yeah. Working on it.
Yeah. That's the goal.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when, and even when I think about, like, me and Sasha, I put her first, but I also put myself first at the same time. Yes. I don't think it's, like, ever, like, one above mm-hmm. the other. Like, it might even just, like, flip a little yeah. bit depending on, like, what it is. I also have, like, the privilege of having breaks from Sasha because mm-hmm. she goes with her dad.
Yeah.
You know, so that's also something that I feel like a lot of people don't realize is that, like, when you are just, like, a full-time mom, I'm kind of, like, a part-time mom. It's weird to say. Like, technically, time-wise, mm-hmm. I'm a part-time mom.
But she's always
oh, yeah.
there.
Yes, you know. Always. Yeah, like, I literally created and birthed a child, yeah. you know? But the reality is that she spends half her time with her dad. Mm-hmm. Do I think about her during that time? Yeah, sometimes I'm like, I haven't thought about Sasha in like 6 hours. That's crazy.
And that's okay. You know? That's good.
And I'm like, does that make me a bad mom? Because sometimes, like, I just...
No!
I'm just living my life, you yeah. know? Yeah, so I think it's so commendable because, yeah, people will just think that's it's taboo. And I'm sure there might even be some people out there that might be like, you're a bad mom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like putting yourself first or mm-hmm. having so much time to yourself. But I think it's great. I think more people should do that.
I think so, too, because I think those are things that actually would make motherhood more
enjoyable.
Enjoyable, because it's like, if your life totally revolves around your kids, which it's probably going to either yeah. way, and you, like, totally forget about yourself. I mean, we've seen it before with moms that, like, their kids move out of the house, and now they're like, wait, who am I?
Yeah.
What do I like to do for yeah. fun?
Yes.
I've, like, completely neglected myself all of these years. And also, I just watched Love and Basketball yesterday with my best friend.
Oh, Monica's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, she could have been a caterer. She could have, like, done these things that she wanted to do, but she, like, put it all in the back aside. Burner. Yeah, yeah.
For the sake of family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also just, like, the very, like, raw, honest truth, which mm-hmm. is your truth, which is that, like, you don't like motherhood.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Well, it, like, mostly, it mostly sucks. I feel like I always have to put this disclaimer out there, like, I love my kids, which I do. I love them very deeply, and I know that they love me as well. And it's, like, it's that, if you're a mom, you probably know that deep, like, I can't even explain why I love these people so yes. much. I think they're beautiful and they have such great personalities, and as they get older,
they're
their personality
funny.
Yeah,
exactly. I've only met them that one time when we met.
They are
yeah.
they're really funny and cute and sweet, and Niall's a little wild as well, but Nala, they're both, like, so creative, and Niall's super athletic, and it's funny because, like, from even when they're, like, in your belly, you mm-hmm. can kind of get the sense for their personality.
Yes, I tell people that yeah. all the time.
It's for real. And now it's, like, even more so that. So, disclaimer, I love my kids. I treat them very well. Like,
they are not neglected.
They are not neglected.
I do feed them.
I feed them healthy, nutritious meals. They eat vegetarian at home. Sometimes if they want to eat meat, that's up to them. That's their choice.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're taken care of.
Yes.
I want everyone to know that.
Yes.
But motherhood is so freaking difficult. It's really, 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 really hard. Nobody's going to tell you that until you get into it sometimes. You might be lucky. You might be one of the ones that, like, was able to, you know, talk to other moms and see, like, oh, wait, this is, like, way harder than they're expecting. And you never know what you're going to get either. Like, yeah. you don't know what set of challenges your child is going to present to you. Yes. You're feeling something there.
I am. Like, everything that you're saying is, like, really deeply resonating. I was just thinking how, growing up, nobody was, like, saying, like, motherhood's difficult, but I could just see it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I think I was just an observant child.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, that looked, yeah.
That was a little tough.
I would just see how much my siblings would stress my mom out, to be honest. And I, like, made it up in my mind. I'm like, I'm going to go easy on her because yeah. she has it hard enough mm-hmm. with them. And then even with just, like, what else did you say?
don't know what you're gonna get.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. With, like, I always tell people this, that, like, I feel like God knew the type of child that I needed mm-hmm. to enjoy motherhood.
Yes.
And, because I'm very resilient. I wouldn't say I'm a fragile being, but we were just talking about how, like, the nervous system dysregulation happens. Mm-hmm. And Sasha's amazing. She's a wonderful child, right? She's so cool.
Even from the one time I met her, she's just, like, so sweet.
She's awesome, mm-hmm. but she's still a child, you know? And so it's just, like, there's times where, like, I'm like, and I'm like struggling. I feel like I'm mm-hmm. fighting for my life.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. She's being a 5-year-old. She's being herself. Yeah. But it's just hard for me, mm-hmm. you know? So I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I think as the kids get older, I get a little bit better at it. But then there's moments where you're like, I thought I was healed from this. I thought I was doing great with this. Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, we went to a restaurant because they had...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Kids night and kids eat for
$1.99.
Oh, that's right. Bubba's 33.
Oh, yeah, Bubba's. Yeah. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. yeah.
But you gotta buy an entree and then another one and appetizer. I was like, oh, this is like a regular price.
It's a regular now meal,
at this moment. But Niall was just like doing the most. He was mm-hmm. doing the most.
Yeah.
And then when we were leaving, he was like happy to walk towards the door. Then he realized, wait, we're leaving? No, I'm not ready to go. Falls down face flat on the floor. And I was just like, I was like, why? Oh my gosh. I was like, Niall, we gotta go. Okay, mommy. Wait, what? I'm confused.
I'm confused.
Just like your nervous system doesn't know where to go.
Down,
yeah, it's like side. Yeah, what is going on? So yeah, that's really, really hard to do. And then like another thing with like you don't know what you're really gonna get with like, your children. With Nala, I felt kind of like you feel with Sasha. Like, oh, okay. This, God knew. She's mm-hmm. so easygoing. Mm-hmm. She's super chill. She's amazing. And then I got unexpectedly pregnant with Niall. And, like, a lot of my fears and a lot of the reasons why initially I only wanted to have one child. Well, before I had kids, I was like, yeah, let's do three. Because I'm from, like, a 2-kid household. My husband's from a 4-kid household. Let's meet in the middle and go with three.
Was two not enough? Like, did you not have enough company with your other sibling?
No, it was... So I was like, yeah, let's do three. And then you have your child, and you're like, let's do
this
one.
This is enough.
It's going to be the one.
This is enough.
This is one and done.
That's how I currently
feel. Yeah. Yeah. It, and, like, a lot of the reasons were, like, okay, Nali doesn't have any, like, medical issues as far as we know, no behavioral issues as far as we know. So I was like really nervous and scared when I found out I was pregnant again, like 4 years later, I guess. And that was like a really, really tough time. And it turned out, thankfully, he's doing like a lot better, but he has epilepsy. And he was having like seizures. We spent a lot of time in the hospital.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He doesn't look like what he's been through.
Right.
Yeah, I could show you a picture. He had the, I think they call it Cushing, where the steroids were so intense. There were like people that were like when we would go to the pharmacy to get his steroids, they would be like, this dosage is so high for an infant.
Yeah.
And we were like, and we would call the neurologist, hey, is this right?
And they're like, and,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was like, he was huge. He was so cute. Like, he's always been like so cute and sweet. But it was, that was like a really hard time for like a lot of reasons. It was that. It was my husband and I living separately for a year because a lot of stuff was going on. I was like, I gotta choose me right now.
Yeah.
I need to choose me and my kids right now. And that's what I did. He was still there, you know, but I needed that like actual space. Physical space. Yeah. It was that. It was that. It was like a big death in the family. It was all of that happening at once. When Niall was, how old was he? About 6 months old.
Girl.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It was really a lot. And during that time, the neurologist was like very, you know, she's seen a lot of stuff, so she doesn't want to give false hope. Okay. But she was very much like, he might, like, if the medication works, he might end up being a normal child. He might grow out of this. Mm-hmm. She wasn't too sure about that. Mm-hmm. If not, he could end up kind of, like, in baby mode the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a whole nother level of caregiver. And shout out to all of the warriors every day that do that.
Right.
Like, for the rest of your life.
Yes.
That's amazing. So it was, like, scary because it was, like, this is what I didn't want. It was, like, wait a minute. Like, I was afraid of, like, you know, having a kid with a disability. I was afraid of, like, okay, now it's not just the 18 years.
Yeah.
It's, like, my whole life of devoting it to caregiving, like, intense caregiving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to everybody that does that. And I'm, like, very grateful that he was one of them that grew out of it.
Yes.
But, yeah, that was an intense time. That's what I mean when I say, like, you really don't know what you're going
to
get.
Yeah, you took it to a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Wow. So how old was he when he grew out of it? Also, your nails are so cute.
Oh, thank you. They kind of peeling off, but they're from Dollar Tree.
Those are so cute.
Thank you. They're the press-on ones. Like, you literally just, like... Oh,
like
they're really nice. I'll get you some.
Sorry. But how old is
they? Have like pretty ones. They're really easy. I want everyone to know about
them. Yeah, they're like. Go ahead. Do your shout out.
You press them on, girl, and you file them off, and that's it.
I'll zoom in. She's like.
Well, the tops are a little messed up. But okay, so Niall was born in April 2022. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was also laid off at that
time. Oh, shit. Oh,
I was like, I feel like there was something else that was, like, hard about that time. You know when you, like, block stuff out of your memory?
Because
it was like, girl, that's like, too much. That was too much. Yeah. So all of that went down in October. So now I was born in April. The diagnosis, the death in the family, the... us like deciding like, well, really it was me deciding like we need like a year living separately. All that, the layoff, all that happened in October. Like we officially moved separately, like in whenever our lease was up. I want to say it was like maybe February. Yeah, I think it was like February. But all of the stuff leading up to that, all that happened like within 2 weeks in that October. It was. It was wild. It was a lot. I really want to thank, like, my family for, like, holding me up. My mama, I love you so, so, so very much. 'Cause that was, like, a really hard time. And then, like, doing all that, running on autopilot, those appointments were expensive.
Absolutely.
Being laid off, you ain't got no health insurance.
Yeah, wow.
Thankfully, we were finally able to get Medicaid, but that's, like, a challenge.
It's a process.
On its own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I could keep going.
No,
that's
no.
Like it's like a lot.
I hear you. So Niall was how old when he grew out of his epilepsy?
In May. So okay. It was not. Thankfully, it was not that long. We had the other like checkup and stuff in May, and she was like, "He can go ahead and get off of the steroids, and then just bring him back like 2 or 3 years old to see like how he's doing." So he's due for that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my god, I can only imagine, like, how much that contributed to, like, just your postpartum, like your mental health, yeah. you know, like, yeah. or if you, did you, would you say you have, like, postpartum depression?
Yeah. yeah. When I look at the definition, I mean, I didn't get health, I mean, help specific to that. Thankfully, I was in therapy at that time. Mm-hmm. Well, up until October, because it was through my job.
Right, yeah.
And I had, like, other stuff going on, too, like, obviously, with my relationship, mm-hmm. and...
So much to carry.
It really was. It was a lot. And one thing that the therapist had told me when I was, like, talking to her about just all the heaviness with... specifically with, like, my relationship, she was like, either he can pull his own weight, or you can, like, drop the weight. Either way, the weight on your shoulders will be lighter. And I was like, oh.
She was right. This is true. That's so, so true. Yeah. I think I remember telling you, like, I was just, like, in the early months postpartum, probably have, like, down throat.
No, you're good now.
In the early mm-hmm. months postpartum, I don't think I could say I particularly enjoyed motherhood. Mm-hmm. I think it was something that I was kind of, like, surviving in, you yeah. know, where I was like, I have this newborn, I gotta keep her alive. I don't have a whole lot of support. Like, I do have, like, family around me, but in terms mm-hmm. of, like, actually having people come in and, like, help me, yeah. like, I was spending, like, almost every day alone, basically. Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, my ex-husband at the time, he was, like, working during the day. Mm-hmm. He'd work, like, longer hours, and he'd come home. And so a lot of, like, the early, like, months postpartum was very much, like, survival.
Yeah.
You know? And so I see moms who talk about how much they love the newborn phase, and I just, like, can't relate.
I mean, neither. Good for you, girl.
I can't relate. Yeah, I'm like, wow. Like, if I ever do have another child, I'm like, I would really like to try to yeah. enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, the newborn stage, but
I deserve it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so it's, like, I grew into, like, really enjoying motherhood, and, like, don't get me wrong, even in those, like, you know, infant, in that first infant year with Sasha, like, It was really freaking hard, but I still, like, enjoyed motherhood, you know? Yeah. But I think it's so interesting how there's, like, so many women who don't
yeah.
enjoy motherhood, and they never really will. I'm like, damn, that sounds like, to me, it sounds like a special place in hell. But
it feels like that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And it's, like, obviously, like, when you're talking about Nala and Niall, like, you can see mm-hmm. how much, like, you love them. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's not that. It's just the experience of motherhood. Like, yeah. what is it specifically for you that you don't enjoy?
It's a lot of things. So it's a lot of things. So, like, I have a list, actually.
Yes, yes,
I'm
yes.
I'm going to pull it up a little bit.
It was so poetic, too, the way that Aww. You read it. She had just read it to me, and I was like, damn, I wish we were recording. So I'm like, you can read it like that if you want, or if you just,
you
like,
want me to?
Pick okay. apart. Yeah, it's up to you.
I'll just read it, guys. Okay. This is, like, a little journal sesh.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sensitive, guys, so not too much on me. If you can relate, like, put it in the comments yes. or wherever you can yes. let L'Oreal know. Okay. My complex relationship with motherhood and how I maintain my autonomy. So I don't like being a mom. It's hard, way harder than anyone ever talks about on a regular basis. You might be able to hear the truth in a conversation, but you usually have to be really close with the person. And that's usually after you've already entered those childbearing years. Like earlier, you were saying you're very observant as like a child, like mm-hmm. to see the struggle and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I was in La La Land.
Apparently.
Most of the time, I'm in La La Land. Yeah. Like, maybe it's because I'm a Cancer. Shout out to all the Cancers. Cancer gang.
Cancer moon.
Cancers. But, yeah, so I didn't. And I also, my mom enjoys being a mom, mm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I've talked to her about this before, and she's like, she's really awesome. She's always, like, understanding. Which I don't understand how she would understand. Because she, like, any chance, like, if my dad was taking us to the park or something, she would want to go. She wouldn't need, like, that extra time to herself.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing. And one day I was, like, kind of recently, like, a couple months ago, I was, like, really down on myself. I was, like, oh, my gosh, I'm just, like, I just suck. I'm, like, not doing a good job. Like, I don't enjoy this at all. I don't, like... motherhood.
I was gonna ask him, like, you, first of all, you don't suck, but I was gonna ask you,
thank you,
was there ever a time where you felt like something was wrong with you because you didn't
yeah.
enjoy it?
Yeah, because, like, to me, people don't talk about not liking it. And right. if they do, then, like, in the comments, like, on a lot of maybe, like, child-free Instagram pages and stuff, if anyone is like, yeah, guys, stay child-free, it's hard over on this side, people are like, oh, my God, I would hate if your kids saw or read this or heard this because that means, you know, you don't like this. It's like, they're being honest and trying to, like, save people from the struggle. They're doing God's work.
So I feel like I can, now that I'm sitting here with you, I can see how, like, you know, like, go ahead and put the caution out there, you know, mm-hmm. for the people. I think it's like this. I don't like that there's propaganda out there that there's people who think, like, every woman should be a mother.
Exactly.
I don't agree with that. Me neither. If you don't have an inclination, mm-hmm. a want, a desire to be a mother, don't.
Exactly.
Just don't, mm-hmm. you know, because you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. The child's going to suffer. Everyone's going to suffer. Yeah. And just, like, go live your happy non-parental life, yes, you know?
I agree.
But on the other hand, you know, I remember, like, when I think I've talked about this before, shout out to my best friend Marissa.
We're
childhood best friends. We met in elementary school, but she got pregnant when we were younger. I think we were, like, in college. And she just, like, did not enjoy her pregnancy. And, like, every chance that she got, she was like, don't get pregnant. And I was just like, okay. And it kind of, like, traumatized me and scared me, where I was just mm-hmm. like, shit, like, maybe I shouldn't do this. Or, like, maybe I shouldn't want to do this. Or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. And then once I actually, like, had my own experience, I was like, no, this is fucking cool. This is great. Yay. You know, like, I like this, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, I appreciate the caution, but I feel like there's, like, such extremes, and it's just like, give some context.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we're doing here.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Okay, sorry. For sure.
Continue.
No, I'm glad that you shared that, because I think, yeah, if a woman does not want to be a mom, I don't think she should have to. Mm-hmm. I also think, this is another personal thing, like, from societal pressure, it's like, if you get pregnant, you, like, have to go through it.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Even though that's not true, guys.
You don't.
There are options out there. But there's, like, there's just so much around that would, like, guilt you into doing things that you might not really want to do.
Yeah. Actually desire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, you, like, make your choice, and then you just gotta go forward with it. Like,
yeah, because once it's set in motion,
yeah, it's moving.
You know what? I'll tell you about this one time where I was really struggling with motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I feel like, one, how radical I am and, like, my honesty with how I feel about motherhood in general, even though I typically do enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. I think even some people might look at me and be like, damn girl, like, that's too honest, you know, like, because I really be beefing with my 5-year-old sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, we really be beefing sometimes. But there was a time when Sasha was like, I would say she was probably like 2 years old, one going on two, or maybe like two, and motherhood was complex, yes. But it was so much more complex than what I'm used to it being. It was really intensified, and there was just a period where I just felt like I would be better off, like, alone, mm-hmm. you know, not having a child.
Yeah.
Which was, it was so interesting, because it's like, I love this child. I actually don't want to be without her, but there was also this very strong pull inside of me to just, like, also just, like, abandon her at the same time, mm-hmm. which is just so crazy to, like, think, you know, or yeah. even to say, where I feel like I probably have only shared this with maybe like maybe two or three other people. Now everybody's going to know. But but it was such a strong pull, and I had to, like, really, like, wonder and question, like, why do I feel this way all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, generational cycles are so real.
Yeah.
They're so real because my mother had abandoned us mm-hmm. when we were younger. Mm-hmm. I don't know what age I was, but I know I was pretty young. I was pretty small. And then her mother abandoned her, I think, when she was about four or five. And then my grandmother's mother abandoned her, I think, just by way of, like, dying. Okay. But at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And so it's, like, there's this, like three-generational cycle going on, trying to make its way onto the fourth generation. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, You know? So it was just, like, even though, you know, life was, like, you know, it was hard at that time. I'm, like, constantly doing, like, shadow work and trying to figure out, like, what parts of my life I can, like, clean up or make better or what cycles I can end. And in that time in my life, it was that cycle. But mm-hmm. It was so hard because it was just, like, everything in me just wanted to, like, leave this child.
Yeah.
But there was also a part of me that was just, like, no, like, that doesn't make any sense. You love this child. You want to be with this child. But I think I was in such a place of, I was just not okay.
Yeah.
I feel like there's only been so many few times in my adult life where I just haven't been okay, and I was one of them, where people would be like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. I need help. And you know that meme where it's like, black women are like, I'm not okay. And people are just like, high five, like, you're doing great.
Oh my God.
Keep going. You're like, I'm drowning. And they're like, you're good. You got it. It's just like, no, like, we I'm not good mm-hmm. right now. Yeah. Like, I need help. Yeah, and I just didn't have any. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a part of, like, wanting to, or not wanting to, but having that, like,
intense urge.
Yeah, to, like, to leave her. And I just had to, like, work through it, journal through it, cry through it, like, just all the things. And once I realized that it wasn't actually me who wanted to, like, leave her, but it was, like, this generational cycle that's been in my family, it was so much easier to, like, just do away with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was really crazy.
Wow, we got a generational cycle breaker right here. No, because you don't realize how much courage that takes to say, okay, I see the way this has been done all of these years, all these decades, like, maybe even centuries, because, you know, our family history, we can only trace back so far.
Yeah.
For you to be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, everything, almost everything, there was a little something that said, no, we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. Almost everything in you wanted to say, okay, let's just keep down this path. We'll just continue the way that it's been.
Right.
And you decided to not do that. That's so, like, wow. I'm just, like, in awe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like so many of us are, you know, cycle breakers. I'm sure you are, too, in, like, your own ways. You know, like, you're so cognizant and aware, you know, of, like, yourself and, like, mm-hmm. your healing and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So, yeah, that was really strange for me. But it just reminded me of how there was a period where motherhood was hard for me, and I had this desire to, like, just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just go.
You're not the only one, because I've looked it up before.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I think Nala might have been around that same age. Mm. Like, there's something in that age where it's like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I watched a video about, like, moms that did decide to, like,
just leave. Go. Yeah. Yeah.
And most of them were, like, happy with their choice. They were like, I think my kid is better off without me in their life. Yeah. That's a personal choice. And then I found this other forum for people that had thought about, like, you know, leaving. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you can leave. Like, you have a choice. And then if you decide not to, that's your choice. Like, you don't have to. It gave me a weird sense of, like, freedom. Because it was like, I'm choosing to be here. Mm-hmm. And I can choose to make the most out of it, even though, like, with mental health issues, with, like, other issues that are going on, too, all the time. It's, like, it's hard. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm choosing to be here. Like, these are my chosen life circumstances, you know? So, yeah, I'm really proud of you for, like, making the choice that's best for you. But also, like, I think you're such an example to Sasha, where it's like, okay, I've seen my mom. I know that she's been through a lot with motherhood and stuff. And whether she chooses to become a mom or not, that's up to her. But she'll know, like, okay, I know I have the power to break this cycle or to do this thing that seems like impossible because mm-hmm. maybe no one's done it before. Because mm-hmm. my mom did it before me.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. As you were talking and being like, yeah, you know, Sasha's going to see you as she grows up. And I'm like, damn, do I want to, like, set the example that, like, motherhood is just so easy? And it's like, I don't ever fake the funk with Sasha when it comes to, like,
that's good,
you know, mm-hmm. just how I feel, you know, what stage of life we're in, you know, like, whatever it is. I do want her to know that I overall enjoy the experience. Like, I love being her mother. Like, yay. It's really cool. I wouldn't trade it for the world, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing. But did we have rough times? Sure. I think that's just, like, a part of life. Yeah. You know, like, mm-hmm. where it's, like, when you were two, you were an asshole. But you were two. So it's, yeah, like, what can I do exactly. about that? You're a literal two-year-old.
You've only been on Earth for 2 years.
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. like, I can't be mad at you for that. But yeah. it was very challenging for me, given, like, what I went through in my life yeah. and how I was raised and, you know, whatever. And so a lot of times it really does feel like I'm fighting for my life when it comes to, like, motherhood, because there's so much that I'm having to navigate without having a literal fucking compass,
yeah.
you know, or a map. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah. Or, like, that example, like, yeah, it's hard.
So it's interesting that, like, I come from a dynamic where I have a dysfunctional relationship with my mother. She doesn't particularly enjoy motherhood. She mm-hmm. doesn't. I know she doesn't.
Yeah.
But I somehow miraculously do. Mm-hmm. And then you are coming from a dynamic where your mother loves motherhood.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, no, this ain't it.
This is a lot. Yeah. I had, with the therapist that I had, she, like, I brought this stuff up to her. She wasn't a mom, so I think there's, like, I don't know, sometimes some people that aren't moms get it,
yeah,
and they have that, like, level of empathy and stuff, and then some just don't get it, and it's hard. I probably wouldn't be able to get it if mm-hmm. I hadn't gone through it, like,
yeah.
what?
Yeah,
you don't like being
I think
a
some
mom?
People do feel that way,
yeah.
where they just don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I was bringing up, like, I don't know, the intense feelings of, like, again, disclaimer, boop, boop, I love my kids. Like, I'm glad they're here. Mm-hmm. But she was like, so if you could, like, go back and mm-hmm. talk to your younger self, like, mm-hmm. would you, like, still become a mom? It's like, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. It's, like, really, really hard. And, yeah. like, this is going to sound so shallow. We're being open and honest.
We are.
One of my core values in life is fun. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a lot of fun happens in unexpected ways with the kids, because mm-hmm. they're, like,
they're just so
hilarious.
Fun. Yeah, exactly.
And they're really fun. So shout out to God for that, because actually that's a win.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as, like, doing some fun things for myself, it's like I have to kind of go out of my way to do that. So I was like, no. And she was, like, shocked. She was mm-hmm. like, oh, you wouldn't be a mom again? No, it's like, if I knew my kids were, like, safe and okay and mm-hmm. like, healthy and happy, and, like, I didn't have to be the one to, like, carry this huge burden, nah, give it to someone else.
That's real. That's so real.
It is. It's yeah. like, ooh, it's too real. But I know I'm not the only person that feels like this. And if you don't feel like this,
That's okay.
That's good. Good for you.
It's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Everyone has a different relationship with motherhood. And, yeah, you don't know. You might think, like, oh, I'm going to love being a mom. I thought that.
Yeah.
You might not like it as much. And I think another thing, too, that, like, plays into it is the age you are when you have kids. I've noticed that, because I've noticed a lot of moms that have kids in their, like, 30s or 40s or even their late 20s love it.
Yeah.
They love
it.
Oh, yeah,
because they've had their time.
And yeah. I feel like it adds, or they feel like it adds, like, a lot of purpose mm-hmm. and fulfillment to their life. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways it does that automatically. Mm-hmm. How old was I? When I had Nala, I was 22, I think, mm-hmm. 22, 23. Math isn't, like, my strong suit. 8 years ago. I had it 8 years ago. And, and it was hard, because it's like, oh, wait, now I have this child, but I'm realizing my old dream of, like, wanting to travel the world, which I still find a way to do, yeah, thankfully.
But not as often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, some of these things that I've, like, wanted to do, it's, like, harder to do it now. It's still possible. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
But it is, like, harder to do, and you have more, like, barriers and hurdles to jump over, like, in the physical world, but also, like, mentally as well. There's so much to consider. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so you were, like, 22. Mm-hmm. I think I was also, I was 22 when I got pregnant. I was 23 when I gave birth to mm-hmm. Sasha. And I'm trying to think. There's women who are just, like, they know that they were born to, like, be mothers. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I never had that kind of desire for motherhood. Mm-hmm. I knew at some point I did want kids. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted kids even earlier than when I had kids. I think it would have been harder, you know, to have them, to have Sasha earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of, like, she's really, like, just enriched my life, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's my experience with having her, that I would absolutely be a totally different person, but I don't know if I would be a person, like, I don't know if I would be a better person than what mm-hmm. I am now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, for you, and I don't know when it changed for you, because right now I know you to be, like, so radical and, like, just doing what feels good for you and taking the time for yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, I don't know if I would, there's so much guilt.
Yeah.
I get to do the things that you do, but because I have time away from her when she's with her dad.
Yeah.
But there's people, you know, who are full-time moms who that would probably make them feel so selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But also, is selfish a bad thing? Like, by definition?
I feel like there's a level of selfishness that humans have to have, like, just to survive. Because imagine, if you're, like, completely selfless, will you eat? Like, will you shower? Will you do, like, the basic stuff? Yeah, so I think, yeah, maybe that's another thing to think about, too. Like, maybe selfishness isn't always bad.
Yeah, maybe it's not an inherently mm-hmm. bad trait, but it's, like, how far you go with it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
How much you maybe don't consider mm-hmm. other people, or how much you can balance being selfless with being selfish.
Yeah.
And it's, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say that I ever compromise my needs and my desires for Sasha. I mean, I think in some ways, like, it just has to, but when I have the chance to, like, just do both, to, like, I'm happy and she's happy, like, I'm gonna take that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
That goes a long way. That goes a long way.
Yeah.
There's something I was gonna say. What was it?
I don't know, like, you could finish your poem if you'd like. I'm calling it a poem because it was so beautiful.
Thank you. Okay.
It was so poetic.
Let's get back into that. Let's see. Okay. Okay. I think part of my beef with motherhood is how hush-hush it is and how taboo it is for moms to talk about not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Of course, men usually enjoy being parents because they get the title.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Without having to sacrifice nearly as much for the role. People are going to hate that I said that. I don't care. They get raises because they have to support and provide for their family. They get the golden badge of being a family man and a good father for simply doing the bare minimum. Anyways, this isn't about anyone else. This is about my personal experience. And then I went into things that I dislike about motherhood, which was a lot of things. It's a lot.
But let's talk about the fatherhood part. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's so true. The bare minimum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have started to think about, like, if I ever do decide to have kids again,
mm-hmm.
It would have to be, like, with the most devoted, the most selfless, the most just, like, a naturally considerate, compassionate kind of person, mm-hmm. kind of man. Because I'm not doing it again where I created the child. Well, we created the child. Mm-hmm. I grew the child. I birthed the child. And then you're just kind of, like, doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And I'm waking up. Like, technically, we both, you know, would wake up at night to, like, he would change her diaper. I would feed her. But in terms of, like, other things, it just kind of felt like it was, like, the bare minimum. And I would have to ask for so much.
Yeah.
It's, like, I would rather just, like, kind of have a partner where there's just, like, equity there. You know, where yes. we're just, like, sharing the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. There's this podcast that I listened to a long time ago. It was called, let's see, it was about, like, fair play, which is, like, where the dad actually, like, steps up just as much as the mom. And then, who was it? It was, I'll have to look it up. It was either Glennon Doyle or Mel Robbins, or maybe both of them, or Brene Brown. It's one of those, you
I
know,
love Brene Brown.
One of those ladies.
Love her.
It's one of those ladies. I'll find the podcast yeah. and double check that. But it was, like, about the constant ticker that mm-hmm. a lot of moms always have in their head. Yeah. Like, you know when they need their doctor appointment, when they need yes. their dental appointment.
Yes.
The school is going to call you yes. in case of emergency. All of this stuff that we, like, have to keep track of and then, like, delegate it to other people mm-hmm. versus, like, it being on both people's radar.
Yeah. To take know? The initiative to be like, oh, I need to schedule this appointment. Yeah. I was just actually talking about this with a friend. Mm-hmm. Rachel, you met her at the Doechii concert.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. She has such a phenomenal husband where he, like, quite literally, like, shares the load where I think she had mentioned that one of the kids, he had set up a dentist appointment for one of the kids, and she's like, hey, like, I have this dentist appointment in my calendar. Like, what happened? And he was like, oh, like, I noticed that this was going on with one of the kids, so I scheduled something. And I'm like,
oh, wow. That's
right?
Amazing.
Yes. Amazing. Or I get so happy when I'm, like, out at the park with mm-hmm. Sasha, like, playground. It's, like, a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah.
And we used to go, like, early in the morning because she would just wake up, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at, like, mm-hmm. 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I would see, like, dads out there with, like, the kids. And I'm like, yeah. I just know he's taking care of the kids so that the mom can get some rest yes. right now. I love that.
I love that. That's yes. what we all deserve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just, like, dads who don't treat fatherhood like they're just babysitting.
Yeah.
Every now and then. But Ew. It's like, yeah. I do feel like we're seeing, like, a shift and a change, but I feel like yeah. that's just something that I wasn't, like, oh, like you had said before, you had said that when you think you're ready, mm-hmm. you know, to have kids, but you're really not
you're
ready.
Not, yeah, and you yeah. don't know until you, like, sometimes you don't know until you get into it. Like, mm-hmm. you can prepare all you want to and, like, read all the books and everything, but, like, nothing is a manual for you and your child and how you guys will, like, communicate together.
So yeah. true.
Yeah. But I'm happy for Rachel. Go, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And also, you deserve that, too. Like, that level of, like you were saying, devotion and mm-hmm. how selfless they are. Because, yeah. like, for it to feel fair at all to us, I feel like they have to be like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not settling until I get it. Yeah. It's just not happening. Another
it's
baby
not worth
will
it.
Come out of my vagina.
Yeah.
Until.
If exit closed.
It's until locked down. And the clank. Crying. And the I feel like the time is ticking because as Sasha gets older, mm-hmm. it's just gonna be a bigger and a bigger age gap. And That's then I okay. and then I start thinking about in terms of like being selfish with like my body and my time where mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think I would want to start over
mm-hmm.
once Sasha hits like 9 years old. I think that's it. I'm yeah. not having no more kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to start over when she's like 9-10 years old mm-hmm. so I got 3 more years mm-hmm. to find a potential suitor
yeah.
that is worthy of putting a seed in my womb
yeah.
and after that I will just happily be like it's me and you girl even if yeah. I do meet a really great guy after that point I think it would take an immense amount of convincing to get me to
yeah.
start over again because it's starting like your body
mm-hmm.
you know the loss of identity
yeah
the you know just, like, going through all those, like, younger years again of, like, having to, like, navigate and be selfless and give and give and give and give. And,
yeah.
Like, as Sasha gets older, it just gets easier.
Exactly. You know?
And
it
so
does.
I just really don't have the desire to make things harder again.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next couple of years, yes, because I still, like, have, like, that desire if the time is right, when the time is right to have mm-hmm. another child. But outside, like, once she's, like, 8+,
yeah, I feel you.
It ain't happening.
I understand that. My kids have a 5-year age gap,
mm-hmm.
which to me it feels like a lot already. But yeah. I have met some moms that like have bigger age gaps, and they're like cool with it. At the end of the day, it's like whatever you really want to do, whatever works for you. Because
yeah.
I think while it is like, I think there is a feeling of starting over and stuff. But I think as you get older, it's like, okay, I've been through this before. I kind of know what to expect. I feel like my second time around, even with all those challenges that I was faced with,
yeah.
I feel like I still had my sense of identity more than after I had Nala. Mm-hmm. After I had Nala, it was like, whoa.
That's amazing that you still had your sense of identity given yeah. all the things that you were dealing with.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
with Niall and like,
that was a lot.
Just your relationship, work, mm-hmm. you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, that makes sense. I do think I will do better second time around with, yeah, being autonomous and just like enjoying it more, being more intentional, being more grateful and happy. Like, I think everything in itself is just going to be a better overall experience.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's things that I can't control, but the things that I can control, it yeah. will be better because I can mm-hmm. influence those things, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think it's important to, like, stay autonomous, even as moms. Because it's hard to. And I think it's, like, the opposite of what... It's changing now, mm-hmm. I think. But what society has, like, looked at moms as, like, oh, you know, you're the person at home, which it's okay if you're at home, but mm-hmm. if you like to be at home, you
yeah.
know, you're the person at home taking care of so many things, and you like have a little smile on your face, yay, woohoo, this is the only thing that you ever want to do, like with your whole life. And like I said, if that's what you want to do, I think that's really cool. The bottom line is like doing what you actually want to do with your life.
Yes. I'm trying to think, like, right now, yeah, well, no, I don't feel like I'm really restricted in a lot of ways. I don't think I've ever really felt restricted in terms of, like remaining autonomous. I feel like that was just kind of, like, a non-negotiable for me
yes.
in some way
mm-hmm.
or some fashion, you
yeah.
know? And I did it by any means necessary.
Nice.
Which I also feel like you do. I think that's why I admire it so much in you, because I'm like, I see that, and you just do it so well. And I'm like, I hope I'm like Sierra when Sasha's like, you know,
you already are. Look at you. You got a podcast, girl. You like, you make time for your friends and your social life. You make time for yourself. You make a lot of time for Sasha. Like, mm-hmm. you make time for the things that you enjoy in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, that's huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope it just gets better and better.
It is.
Better.
It is. Ashe.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see. What are the things that you like about motherhood? You're
okay.
like, there's only like three.
Yeah, there's only like three. Like, guys, I didn't read the whole list of things that I didn't like, and
you're
a
welcome
lot.
To get into it. I won't interrupt. You can just like go.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot, guys. But I'm doing this in transparency.
Yeah.
So maybe another mom out there can see themselves as well,
yeah.
because I don't feel like I did for a while until I really started like seeking it out,
mm-hmm.
and also, if you're, like, thinking about it, but you're like, what are the pros and cons? I'm going to tell you the cons, girl. I'll tell you the pros, too, but... Okay. Okay, what do I dislike about motherhood? It wasn't the original vision that I had for my life, because I was going to be, like, the rich auntie, traveling the world, you know, focusing on my career and my money.
No,
oh, what
ahead,
are you
going to
say?
No.
No, I'm curious, though.
I was going to say, like, I had an idea, like, when I became a mom, because I feel like I was giving rich auntie before I became a mom.
You still do, period.
Right. Thank you. That's what I was going to say to you. I'm like, you can still be rich auntie.
Hey.
Even though you're a mom too.
Yes.
Like, you can do both.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Continue.
Even with with a good partner, like, there's so many things that Earl does well. Like, he's been there this whole time. He has no desire to, like, not be in his kid's life. Even though there's been moments where, like, we just talked about where I have. He's like, well, I can, you know, I'll take care of them. Mm-hmm. So, thankfully, we didn't get, like, all the way through that, you know. But there's a lot of ways that he's a really good partner. Yeah. But even with a good partner, the responsibilities can still be imbalanced and unfair, and moms automatically become the primary parent. So, like, even if you have a really good partner, is he, like, going to go to the schools and, like, tell them, hey, call me first? Because the schools are going to call you first, mom.
Always.
They're going to call you first.
Why?
Because they know we be getting stuff done. But still, like, he can do stuff too, guys. So, like I said, even if you choose, like, a great partner, there's still, like, some imbalances, some unfairness there. I had the kids at a young age before I had the chance to be completely selfish and just, like, literally do whatever I want. Like, literally. I harbor feelings of resentment toward my partner because he said he was ready for marriage and kids. In reality, neither of us really were at 21 years old, 22 years old. Like, who is, for real? Like, be so for real. it's very expensive, and poverty isn't fun. Making my dreams come true is harder, and this is a limiting belief. This is like, it just popped out. It's like, that's a limiting belief. Because are there not moms that are like doing everything? I was about to say, yes, you. I was about to say Beyonce.
Period. Yes, Queen Bee. But it's true. I like that. It's true. It is a limiting belief.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I feel like, I mean, there's more reasons, but I feel like that was the reason why maybe I'm here today.
Recognize that.
Yeah.
So I feel like you, and it's a journey, but I feel like even now, I said I wasn't going to interrupt, but I am. It's a journey, but even now I feel like you're doing so much to just like live your dream life, like day to day.
I really am.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely a limiting belief for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Cause that's something that I've like worked on. Like I've been working on. So the limiting belief that I wrote on here is making my dreams come true is harder, and this part is true. Mom guilt creeps in because how dare I try to focus on myself while having kids to focus on, even though I focus on them a lot more than I focus on myself. Mental health issues get even harder to get help for, and they can get worse. Like I mentioned, I have depression. It's not diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I have ADHD. It's not diagnosed, but I know I have OCD because I pull my eyelashes out.
Ooh.
And my eyebrows.
But they're so cool. Oh, my God.
It's that mascara, girl. I didn't put a little mascara on. I've been putting castor oil on, like, every day to try to, like, undo what I keep doing every day.
My Shayla.
Oh, my God.
Can I say,
yes,
when you were talking about, like, you know, mental health, it can get worse.
Mm-hmm.
It can definitely intensify. It reminded me of this, it's like a TikTok of this girl being like, I could never have kids. Like, could you imagine? Like, she was like crying. She was like in the middle of a breakdown. She's like, could you imagine if a kid right now was like, mommy, like, can you help me? She was like, oh my fucking God. Like, I couldn't. I'm like, I feel that. Cause so actually Sasha, I feel like she's very, like, if I'm crying, like Sasha knows to just kind of like, leave me be. She might even just come and like give me a hug or a kiss. Like, she's so sweet.
God.
But if I'm just having a hard day and there's nothing that really shows that I'm having a hard day, and she's just like giving me an even harder day, I'm just like, and so that's what, that I'm like, I get what that girl is saying. Cause like some days you're just having a hard day. Here comes a kid just making it harder. You know, he's like, just give me a fucking break. Like, I just want to sit here in an existential crisis for like, 2 hours.
For real.
Or like a whole day. But you, like, can't do that when you have a child. You gotta feed them. Yeah, you gotta schedule it, and you're like, okay, after I took her into bed.
There's my crying time.
Yes, when you go on the
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Showering, crying, I'm going to sit and just be depressed for like 2 hours, you know? Like, it's true. You just, like, you have to, it's, in that way, I feel like, It's kids first, like, I'm gonna make sure Sasha's good, and that she's fed, and that she can, like, go to the playground or the park or, you know, like, whatever it is, and then at the end of the day, I will have my little minty bee, or sometimes I'll just have it real quick in the corner, and I'm like,
sometimes that's all you need,
all right, sis, let's go to the playground.
Exactly, yeah, sometimes I'll just be crying, and I'll be like, Mom, you okay? I'll be like, did you want to eat?
But do you ever tell her, like, if you're not okay?
Like, not really, because I try to keep it, like, light-ish, but like you were saying earlier, I don't want to sugarcoat stuff. I don't want her to feel like if she's ever in the same position as me, she has to, like, act like God's strongest soldier.
And I can't ever show my emotions. There's times when Sasha sees me crying, and I'm like, I'm just a little sad right now, baby. You know, because I just want her to know, like, feel your feels, dude. Yeah. Like, feel your feels. You don't have to pretend like they're not big or they're not important. Exactly. Or, no, girl, we not. You know, there's this research that's coming out that's showing that, like, women are significantly more at risk of developing an autoimmune disease.
I've seen that.
And it's because of the fact that so many of us just don't express our emotions. We don't cry. We don't let it out. We don't yell. We don't rage. We don't. And I'm going to cuss someone out.
Period.
I'm going to let someone know where they got me fucked up. I love that for you. Yes. But the thing is that, like, most people don't upset me.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the power to upset me. There's probably She's only like
powerful. Yes.
There's probably only like 5 people in the world who have the power to, like, actually upset me. And those 5 people, if and when they piss me off, they're gonna know.
They will be
aware. I'm gonna let them know. Yes. I ain't holding shit in. Nah. Absolutely not.
Nah.
I ain't having no autoimmune disease over here for you.
For you? Are you kidding me?
Cause who gonna help me? Not you!
Exactly! Exactly!
Just, come on, women. We just get... Exercise the throat chakra, please. Some people, they need to know where they had you fucked up.
They need to know exactly at this point, at this geographical location. That's where
it happened. Coordinates. On this intersection, this is where you had me fucked up. Don't let it happen again. It's so powerful.
It is.
It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, at the beginning of this year, I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I was going through a lot with, like, people who are close to me. 2 of the people who actually do have the ability to make me upset were doing it simultaneously.
No.
And I was just like,
Not half the people on this roster are.
I was just like, what the fuck? And I think I was, I don't think a lot of people know this, but I'm a former crash out. You know, like...
She's been delivered.
I'm trying, but I'm also learning, like, maybe you just need to crash out. Because it was not serving me. Not crashing out was not serving
it's
me.
It's giving you, like, it gives people autoimmune diseases.
That's crash out. Like, just crash out. Heal your nervous system. Heal your body. Crash out. So it's like, and you know, like, the term now, it's like crash. Everybody says, like, oh, crash out, crash out, crash out. And it's just like somebody having, like, a little blitz of, like, an angry moment. And it's like, no.
I mean, crash out.
I'm not even going to say any of the things that I've done when I've crashed out, because I would be maybe even implicating myself in some things. So, it's like, I'm not even going to go there. But crash out. Crash out!
Yeah.
You know? So, when these 2 people were simultaneously upsetting me at the same damn time, a part of me just felt like, I can't afford to crash out right now because that just wouldn't be good for anybody. That wouldn't be good for me. That wouldn't be good for them. Like, I'm just not going to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stay calm. I'm going to pretend like it's not a big deal. I'm just going to, you know. And what was so crazy is, like, in the following months with me just, like, kind of, like, minimizing the situation, not vocalizing, not saying how I felt, not telling people where they had me fucked up. Mm-hmm. My body was in so much disarray and pain. Remember I told you my hips were giving me so much trouble.
Yeah.
So much trouble.
Gotta twerk it out.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
And I wasn't even dancing. I wasn't twerking. I wasn't doing nothing.
Because how can you?
Right. I was just, like, I was literally stuck in, like, fight or flight. Yeah. And so, long story short, I ended up kind of, like, releasing those blockages that I was having, like, within myself. Started telling people where they had me fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then my body felt better.
Yeah, and I feel like that's good in so many ways. Like, one, like, with this emerging research, like, mm-hmm. it's helping our bodies, like, get that stored stress out. Mm-hmm. And then, two, it's, like, good for you for actually expressing yourself and saying how you feel. Have you ever noticed, I don't know, spiritual girlies, like...
Tap in.
Tap in right now. When you have something to say and you don't say it, my throat will start hurting.
Yeah.
Like, I might get strep throat.
Yeah.
Like, actually. Throat. Yeah. And then when I express and say what I need to say, then it clears up. But, it's good for you for expressing yourself. And also, it strengthens that relationship.
It does.
Because imagine...
If it matters.
If it matters. If it's important enough. Which I think a crash out usually means, like, okay, I freaking love you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I need you to, like, listen to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, deep down, I love you. Right now, I'm trying to be tough. But, yeah, that's huge. It's good that you shared how you're feeling in those times, especially with those people. You have to, like, there has to be something there if they can make you that upset, you know? You're like, nah.
What I'm thinking right now is, like, I need to go home and meditate because I'm upset right now. Mm-hmm. No, but it's like, and I'm thinking about how much I still didn't crash out. So there's still, like, some, like,
there's still some
emotions there, you know? And, like, lately I've been feeling, like, very much, like, at peace.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I've just been meditating a lot.
Oh, period.
And now I'm like, people are really just disappointing sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you were saying, like, just let people know when you're feeling disappointed or upset or, you know, frustrated or let down or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, just be honest. Be vocal.
Yeah. Because then hopefully that behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, then it's like, okay.
The person does not deserve to be in your life.
Exactly.
I'm a huge advocate. I think that's also something that contributes to autoimmune diseases, is people keeping people in their life for the sake of, like, oh, that's my family.
So-and-so that I've had in my life for so many years.
Yeah, that's my friend. She's been my friend since whatever. That's my mom, or that's whatever. Mm-hmm. I tell people. Okay, I'm like, how do I want to say this? Basically, like, if I ever have, like, a fallout with a friend and they, like, just feel entitled to, like, be in my life, or they feel entitled for me to, like, you know, for me to give them my time or whatever it is, I will tell them straight up. I'm like, I didn't talk to my mom for 2 years. What makes you think that I'm gonna just, like, let you be in my life stressing me out?
You ain't my mama.
You not my mama, and I don't even let my mama stress me out. Bye.
Yes.
Goodbye. Which sucks. Ta-ta. I feel like I need to find, like, a more of, like, a threshold when it comes to, like, friendships. I feel like that's what I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
I have such beautiful friendships in my life.
Yay!
Right now. Mm-hmm. And it's new. Like, these, like, just, they just feel like such pure, organic, beautiful friendships.
Yeah.
Before, I felt like I really struggled with, like, maintaining friendships. In the sense where when somebody kind of, like, crosses, like, a boundary, and we, you know, I will do the work to try to, like, just fix it, mend it, like, let's talk about it, you know, mm-hmm. like, let's try to work this out. And if we try and it's just not working, I'm not going to force that friendship. Like, it can just be let go, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I feel like there's so many friendships that I've had over, like, the past, like, 5 years, where I'll, like, look at pictures in my phone and I'm like, damn, I don't talk to them no more. And I'm like, damn, I don't talk to them no more. And I don't talk, damn, I don't. And I'm just like, am I the problem? You know?
Yeah.
And I've had to, like, be honest in the sense that, like, I think I need to give people more grace. And also, like, it's, I think, like, where I'm at right now is, like, if we're just, like, not resonating at a certain time and it feels like our friendship is, like, kind of, like, taking a fall, like, let's just give it time.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to force it. Mm-hmm. And let's just, like, see if we can actually come back together in, like, a few months or a few weeks, a few years, like, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, write someone off and be like, I am never talking to that person ever again. Because it's, like, we're all in, like, different seasons of our life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, like, I can recognize that right now. Like, we're not really meshing like we normally would. And I don't know if I really like who you are right now. And for that, like, I'm going to put distance between us. But if the timing is right in the future, we come back together and it feels right, then let's do that.
That's good. I think it's good to keep that, like, openness. Like, okay, who knows? This person might change in these ways. I might change in these ways. And it's good for you, too, because I feel like, I don't know, I resonate with this, I think, in a different way. Because I grew up a military kid, like, everywhere, all the time, like, moving all the time. And I only have, like, one, well, okay, if you're my friend, you know who you are. We're, you know, I'm cool with a lot of people. But I only have one best friend from, we've known each other since third grade.
Oh, wow.
You know, through, like, all of my moves and stuff. And she, like, always, we kept just, we always kept up. She was better than that, at that, than me for a long time. But now I reach out as well. So I think part of me is, like, I don't know. In my, like, relationship hierarchy, I feel like it's my relationship with God and my relationship with my family and then, like, my, you know, my little family, my Earl, Nala, and Nile, and then my friends. Even though I love having friends, and I noticed how important it is for me to have friends when I was living in Las Vegas for 2 years with zero, like, actually no friends.
Yeah.
It was also during, like, COVID time, so, like, I get it's that as well. It is. And I was like, wait, when I live in Texas, I always have, like, some friends that I can, you know, spend time with and talk with and, like, actually get to know each other, like, on a personal, intimate level. And that's when I realized, like, how important that is to me. But part of it is still, like, I got my family, you know? So I think I've never put as much, like, intention on, like,
prioritized it in that way.
Yeah, I guess so. But I can see how if you do, then, yeah, there's some people I might need to cut off, you know, at certain points in time.
Yeah, you're, and, like, you're basically, like, you're a low-maintenance friend.
Yes, very much low. That's, like, the perfect way to explain it. Yeah. Call me every now and then.
Yeah.
Text me
every now and then.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, that's, I feel like that's how I am most times, except one of my best friends brought up a year ago that it was hurtful that I wasn't giving our friendship the time and attention that she felt like it deserved, and she was right. I wasn't in a place where I was prioritizing friendships because I traditionally am, like, just a very low maintenance friend where I just kind of, like, pop in, pop out, even with my best friends. Like, we might have, like, a period where we're talking, like, every day, but then we might also have a period where we talk, like, maybe, like, once a week or, like, once every 2 weeks or once a month, you know? And so it's, like, to me, I didn't feel like anything was wrong, but when she brought it up to me, I was like, oh, shit, okay, that's something that I need to work on.
Yeah.
So it's, like, in
that's
some ways,
that's probably something,
like,
I need to work on, too. Now that you say it.
it was, like, when she had brought it up to me, I was like, damn, like, I felt so bad because you could tell that it was really hurting her.
Yeah.
I was like, I would never want to hurt you. I'm so sorry. And so it's, like, I had to, like, really, really work at, like, communicating because I'm a low-maintenance friend. It's just, like, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. I'll see you when I see you. I'll text you when you come across my mind, or sometimes I forget. And then, like, it's been 6 months and I'm like, hey, you know? And it's just, like, that's how I am. So I had to, like, be so intentional after that. To basically, like, put in actual effort that I don't think I ever really did before.
Yeah.
To be like, this relationship is important to me. I want her to know, like, how much I value and treasure her and how much I love her. So, like, let me put in this work to, like, check in on her, to see how she's doing, to hang out with her. You know, like, where normally we would probably just see each other, like, maybe, like, once every, like, 2 to 3 months or something like that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. It's great that your friend brought that up to you and also that you worked on it. And I wonder if that's, like, a big contributing factor on, like, how you have flourishing friendships now.
I think that did actually help me a lot. I feel like after that it helped me to be more mindful of how I just wanted my friends to feel loved. I feel like that's something that I was always very insecure about with my friendships, because a few years ago I had a friend who basically said I was a shit friend, and I was like, damn. Yeah. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And so after that, I was always just like very cognizant to make sure that I was being a good friend to my friends. I already thought I was, but then I was like, maybe I'm not, you know? And so I always wanted to make sure that like people just felt good, you know, like being around me or talking to me. Thank you. I do too. And so even after my best friend last year, I told me like, hey, like, I don't really feel like you treasure this friendship. She's like, do you even still want to be friends? And I'm like, I was like, of course I do, you know? So after that, I think, yes, I have been more intentional with, like, even just, like, responding to people's messages, because I used to be so bad at that.
I kind of suck at that.
Yeah, so, like,
I'm getting better, but...
Even I would text someone to, like, hang out, and then they would text me back, but by that point, I'm already, like, off to, like, thinking about something else, and then I don't get back to it until, like, weeks later, you know, if not months later.
Oh, same.
And so I've been more intentional until, like you were saying, I think it has contributed to me having, like, stronger friendships now, where I'm like, okay, don't forget to respond to Sierra. Don't forget to respond to, you know, so-and-so. Yeah. And then
you're, like, prioritizing that.
And it's actually, like, been so great. It's been so great.
I think friendships are really important. After I just said, like, they're at the bottom of my relationships tier, but there are a lot of reasons why they are important, and it's, like, you're, the people you choose, like, you're choosing to be in their lives, which is so beautiful. I had, like, maybe this is another reason, but I had, like, I don't know where this is going to end up, just so you know.
Okay.
You need to cut this out. But I,
we're already so far off track. Go ahead.
One of my goals with moving back to Texas, when we moved back, was, like, to be a good friend and, like, to have a friend. And I met a friend, and it was, like, we had known each other our whole lives, pregnant at the same time, like, all of that stuff. And then, like, I was in the position that I got cut off. And I don't know why to this day. I don't know for sure, because we didn't, like, talk about it. We had, like, seen each other another time, and I was, like, if there, like, if I ever do anything to get on your nerves or that you don't like, let me know so I can, like, fix it. And, yeah, because I value this friendship. And they're like, okay, okay. But then, like, after that, I don't know. What I think happened is I was going through all that stuff at that time, and I think I was putting too much on her, like, by venting all the time, and then asking, like, for help sometimes, too. So I think that was, like, too much, and I think that's why I haven't heard from her in years, even though we live, like, not that far from each other.
Even now?
Yeah.
Oh, should message her?
No.
No?
Okay. Because I have so many times,
okay,
you know, to be left on, like...
Red.
Yeah. Oh,
damn, okay, never mind. Yeah. Should you not message her?
Like, leave her alone, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's why it's, like, a... Maybe that's another reason why it's, like, a... sensitive topic for me, because, like, growing up, you know, you move, you never see your friends again.
Right.
Move, you never see your friends again.
Right.
With, like, social media and stuff, like, okay, I do see some of my old friends and stuff. But, like, as far as, like, my core, like, my bestie, that's, like, the only, like, very, 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 very close friend where it's, like, okay, we know everything about each other. We're going to talk to each other about, like, everything. Yeah, so maybe that's why my relationship with, like, friendship is also... I just got a lot of complex relationships with...
with everything. Yeah, no, but I also resonate, because growing up, I wasn't an army brat or anything like that, but I moved around a lot. And so that's also why, like, growing up, and even up until recently, like, friendships, while they were important to me, it wasn't important for me to, like, stay in contact with people constantly, because I was always meeting new people and moving away and then growing apart from people and then growing closer to other people. It was just, like, always, like, kind of this cycle. So I absolutely resonate with that. I think, like, friendships and sisterhood is always something that I've always, like, really, really wanted since, like, becoming a mom. And I don't I don't think I was really able to get it until, like, really recently, you know, when I really started to put in that work and, like, really be vulnerable. But so much of what I feel like makes motherhood enjoyable for me are the friendships that I have.
Yes.
I don't think I would really enjoyed as much without them. Like, play dates are so much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You know, like, having someone to vent to that just gets it.
Yes.
You know, like, it's just... Or even being able to be there for other people in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, wherever they're at. You know, it's yeah. like... it's Yeah, I really... fuck with that. It's like, it's the sisterhood for me.
Yeah, it's the sisterhood for me. No, yeah, that's so important. And that's like, it's true too, because we've all seen it, like, when you, like, get married or when you have, like, a partner or whatever and you have kids and stuff, we hope it lasts forever. It doesn't always last forever. Mm-hmm. And even if you, like, are still together, it doesn't mean, like, oh, everything's amazing, yeah. you know? So it's important yeah. to have those sisters, those, like, chosen sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm proud of you for, like, making that, you know, being intentional about that. That's, like, inspiring for me.
It's just been the biggest blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me really happy. It makes mm-hmm. me really emotional, actually, because I'm just, like, aww, it feels like okay, chosen family.
Yeah.
You know? That's mm-hmm. what it's like. But to the point of you bringing up, like, you know... I think it's, like, Carrie from Sex and the City. She says, like, maybe our true soulmates are, like, our friends.
Yes.
You know?
It's like, yes.
I think you can have platonic soulmates, romantic mm-hmm. soulmates. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yes, I've absolutely met women where I'm like, you are my literal fucking soulmate. Yeah. Oh, my God.
We're actually so much. Right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think, like, we make the mistake of, like, reserving our, like, most secret love for, like, our intimate romantic relationships, yeah. where it's, like, our friendships deserve that, too.
They really do.
You know? Like, mm-hmm. you have friendships where you're just, like, damn, I love you so much. Like, you yeah. just, like, you know, mm-hmm. you just, like, want to hug. Or it's, yeah. like, cuddling. It's, like, why is cuddling only reserved for, like, your partner?
I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm gonna cut it here because I know it's long
okay.
as hell.
It's a long one.
Yes. But
okay.
Thank you so thank much.
You.
I love you.
Honey.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Oops, sorry.
Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Unlearning Motherhood. I hope that this episode maybe brought some things to light that maybe you weren't aware of, or maybe you were aware of and maybe you aren't as honest with yourself about, or maybe you are and maybe you can't be vocal about it, or maybe you are. Like, just I just hope that it's shedding light on a very what's like just honest topic
yeah.
that's like very common
mm-hmm.
And we can start having more conversations around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys. Us.
Thank you, Noria.
Have a great day.
Yes.
A great day.
One. A wonderful day.
Bye, guys.